Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Wendy Papazian.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
I'm Via Williams.
And I'm Seychelle Vanpool. The relationship we have as co-hosts here at Empire Building actually started long before the podcast ever began. We're actually part of a tribe of 11 women, lovingly called the Dolls. And these 11 women are strong, they are fierce, they are loyal, they are positive, and most importantly, they are unapologetic and bluntly honest.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, bluntly honest.
And are we not going to say that the Dolls are actually the 5 Dolls and there's 11 of us? Sort of confusing.
Yeah, that's a long story. Maybe that's a mini episode.
Maybe we'll do it.
I think we have to go back to episode 2 for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, we started as 5 and then we realized we needed a lot more to handle what we were going to accomplish. But, you know, the cool part is, so is by being in each other's lives over the last 5+ years, we've seen health improve. We've seen careers take off. We've seen net worth skyrocket. We've seen our relationships flourish or have received the support we needed to end relationships that weren't healthy. We've watched companies be bravely led from halfway around the world and career decisions pivot to take life in an entirely new path, honestly. That's just a couple of the benefits when we talk about being in a tribe like this. And so today we're going to go over this, but this tribe was not accidental. In fact, it was really, really intentional. And we get asked all the time how we built our tribe and how someone can indeed build a powerful tribe themselves. So today we're going to take you behind the curtain and into the models of how we built our tribe. So let's dive in.
Yeah. Well, and I would just note that this is probably going to end up being a 2-part series because we had a lot of notes at the beginning. The first one's going to really be the why around it all. And the second part, if you're really just interested in the tactical part of how to build how to build a tribe, yeah, that's, you're going to want to look for the second part of this one.
But the why is important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should listen to them both. I'm not saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. One or the other.
There'll be two separate episodes. One, I'll take you into like how we do our retreats, how we facilitate them, kind of the nitty gritty behind that. And then today we're going to really focus if you don't have a tribe, which I would dare to say a lot of people don't. I didn't.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, guys, that's great. But how do I actually find my tribe first? And you don't have one. The episode today is really going to help you figure out A, how to do that, and B, what you look for in those people to create your own tribe.
And I would say tribe, we're hearing that word, I think, a lot more lately. Mm-hmm. And so let's define. So let's set the stage of what we define to be a tribe. Tribe is a group of people or a community. And really the foundation of a tribe is similar. Okay. That's not a weird word. I don't know.
Proof that Sarah Reynolds is not perfect.
Yeah. I'm going to write that down as today was the day we discovered.
Today was the day Sarah Reynolds showed us she was not perfect. Similar, I could say that values or interests. That's sort of the foundation of a tribe. And they speak a common language. And often there's a common leader of the tribe. So when we say tribe, we're really like a group of people that have come together with a foundation of common core values that sort of lead who they are. And also common core values about their growth, right? And what they want to become. And so that's how we define a tribe here at Empire Building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Well, and how our tribe started was, as I was sitting at our ranch with Diane Griffin, who's one of our 5 Dolls. And it really started as a joke, to be honest with you. We were sitting there and we were talking about another organization that has a name sort of like ours. And I said, you know, those guys are all men and, you know, we need our own, you know, group of ladies who are real estate, badass businesswoman. And she said, oh, well, we should, you know, start our own group. And instead of calling it this name, we're going to call it the 5 Dolls. And then we like basically created this whole big joke around it. And like
logo.
T-shirts.
Yeah. We made this funny announcement in front of this big group. Yeah, where we were pretending to be this like new
conglomerate.
You know,
it was like a flash mob. Yeah. We all had the shirts hidden and then we like flashed our jackets open and it was really fun.
Yeah. Everybody was really confused actually as to what was happening, but we were highly entertained. Do you remember that, Sarah? Were you there?
No, I saw pictures. I was not there, okay. But I saw pictures.
You weren't that way.
Yeah, I was one of the confused yeah. ones. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we realized, you know, because we started communicating and I guess maybe we went out to dinner or something like mm-hmm. that. And then I realized, wow, gosh, this maybe I literally had the thought like, wow, maybe we're onto something. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, I had been really hungry for a mastermind group of my own. I joined an organization here in Austin for entrepreneurs where you have to make over $1 million to be a member. And it was mostly men. You know, we have the largest a group of this organization in the whole country and only about 10% of the members were women. So I just felt like it wasn't really they weren't my people. Mm-hmm. And so from the original five, we decided to have a mastermind. That's really how it started, I mm-hmm. guess, that first year. And I had the thought to invite a few more people. So I think there were more than five at that first one. Maybe there were seven.
I think there were six or seven.
I don't know if y'all remember.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we just, you know, kept inviting and actually a few people left. Right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the beauty of it. And we'll go over this, but like sometimes people self-select out and that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little attrition. But then we locked down at 11 and I'm super social. So I, you know, I'm always for making it bigger, but I think everybody else is like, nope, we're done. So yeah. So that's really how it started.
Yeah, I think I was the last one. So it was like after
you
Sarah,
were?
We just can't have
that's
anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's
the door.
Shut the door. Yeah. This is just too much.
Yeah, we can't risk getting another Sarah.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the right 11 one and people. Done.
It is the right 11 yeah. people. Yeah,
yeah, it is. It's yeah. a great, it's yep. a great mix. And yeah. you know, I think the beauty of the tribe, and we'll talk about this some though, is like a lot of us didn't know each other really well before we came together, but we had a lot of similarities in viewpoints or core values, and we just didn't realize it. All of us are in different stages of our life. Some of us with newborns, some of us with kids completely out of the house, but we kind of came up with a similar language and code, which we'll go into. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, I don't want you to think it was like, oh, we're all best friends. We should just be a tribe. It was like, no, we had a very intentional purpose yeah. for what we were
no,
looking
really
for and building
I really thought
it.
About it. You know, uh-huh. I invited everyone and I really yeah. thought about who I wanted
add.
To be there. And, mm-hmm. you know, all of us have kids. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely something. We're all married, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
And so we all run big businesses.
Yeah. Let's kind of jump into that a little bit and kind of, you know, framework this, my favorite word, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of go over what we all agreed was maybe the five kind of foundational tenets of this, right? You know, and kind of how we got to where what we're talking about now. And the first one is sort of the why, what, and where of this, you know, and I think that the best advice I have for anybody that we all have for anybody is to think about what you're missing in your current surroundings and where you're hoping to go in your life. Because otherwise, if you don't have a North Star that you're following, then, you know, you're probably going to stay doing what you're doing forever, right? I mean, the mm-hmm. five people you surround yourself with or who you're going to become, they're probably the best way to predict the future. So you need to get clear on what you're missing. You know, what's the gap to where you are and where you want to be? And I think that's kind of how we all think that this should start, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And yeah. I think it comes down to, you know, the fact that leadership in building a big organization, empire building, is actually a very lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Many mm-hmm. times you are surrounding yourself by people that work for you, work with you, right?
That you are paying to be around
yes.
you.
Correct. Yeah, that you're paying yes. to be around you. And at the same time, you have, and a lot of times when you're paying people to be around you, I don't want to like sort of go over that too fast, because I think that was important what Wendy said, is that a lot of times you're getting yeses all the time too,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. so it can be, it ends up actually being very lonely, because you also don't feel like you can be transparent about your struggles yeah. and what you need to work on. And because you feel like, well, they're going to look at me differently, right? I'm the leader. Mm-hmm. I've got to be, you know, I've got to mm-hmm. know it all. I've got to know where we're going. And it's a lonely place. And I think yeah. that's where the tribe comes in to mm-hmm. fill that void. And we need that. All of us mm-hmm. need yeah. that, whether we realize it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just as really for me personally, just sometimes listening to the shared experience that everyone has as a leader, mm-hmm. that alone is very powerful.
So
like
true.
I'm feeling this right now. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling terrified. When what Sarah was saying is, you know, we have to put on this front mm-hmm. for our people all the time. And unless you're really a leader, you don't understand that. Mm-hmm. You just really don't.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important as your empire gets bigger, right? And you know, and for me and for a lot of our listeners, they might be working for someone, but my empire is huge, even mm-hmm. though I
yes.
You know. Yes. And I think what's important is you need to be able to look around you and kind of say, do I trust these people and are they not on my payroll or are they not direct reporting to me or are they not going to benefit me in any way, right? I mean, it's really important to make sure that the people that we're considering for this tribe that we're building are not there as a stepping stone in your career. They're not there for any other reason other than, you know, they're your people. You mm-hmm. can confide in them, you can grow with them, mm-hmm. and you know, they can pressure you in the right places and peer pressure you mm-hmm. into the right decisions, right?
I also would like to admit too that like my tribe before this tribe, right, was a group of people that I really trusted. And as you grow and become successful, oftentimes you actually attract people to come work with you that you know, like, and trust. And all of a sudden, what Via said is really important, right? Then they get on your payroll.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And all of a sudden, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to be honest with you. And there's a certain level of dependency or reliability that they have on you that they need to be able to, you know, just... Yeah. Make sure you're paying attention to that. So that payroll piece was a big one for me.
Yep. I know multiple of us have listened to the Danger of Autonomy podcast episode from Andy Stanley. And he says, eventually you look around and you're basically a tribe of one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meaning everyone around you, you know, is you're paying them and you look around and you're end up being everyone. A tribe of one. And, yeah, and that exactly. that's a danger. There is so much danger to that. And mm-hmm. so that's why a tribe around you that aren't just yes people, that aren't on your payroll, that aren't just there to like, you know, laugh at all your jokes and things like that is so key to building a big business, but then also a bigger life. Because I think that's mm-hmm. part of it too, is letting the business take over.
And we actually took some notes on that podcast. So if you want to check out the show notes from this one, we'll post those for you.
Absolutely.
So you can read
Absolutely.
Those because it's a really good
listen. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll link to that too.
So number two, and I think that is really, really key here, is having similar core values and qualities. You want to search out traits and values that you want to see in yourself, either that you might, maybe things you don't possess, right now, mm-hmm. but you want to possess. And having the foundation of similar core values is really key to having a successful tribe.
I know one for me that I was really excited when I was invited to be a part of this tribe was I had Quinn, who was about like 6 or 9 months old when we first started, and I had no freaking idea how to parent. And when we got invited to the first retreat and I'm looking around at the women that were coming to this retreat, I was like, not only are they amazing businesswomen, but I really respect them as parents and I have no idea what I'm doing. And so that, like to that example, Sarah, when you were talking about, you know, traits you want to see in yourself, I have learned so much from you guys in business and I have learned so much for my marriage and so much for parenting from you all and our tribe that I would have taken me so many failures and years to figure out otherwise.
And that's a common trait with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good parenting is a common trait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But to clarify, none of us are subject matter experts on parenting.
What? No, we're all sailing forward. No. But we're doing it together.
Well, I think the important thing about
this. We all do the best
this.
We can.
And I think what everyone's trying to say with this is that you wouldn't, if parenting is one of the most important callings in your life or roles in your life, you wouldn't probably want a tribe where people were anti having kids. Yes. You know, that wouldn't make sense. And by the way, for anyone out there who's choosing not to have kids, that's awesome.
Yes.
And I love it. And maybe you should have a tribe with other people who don't want, because the point of common values is this is on the spectrum, this is probably number one and two for us, you know, being for us anyway.
Well, I would love to list out for our listeners, you know, some traits that we look for, right?
Sure.
The good parenting, wealth seekers, wealth builders.
Great hair.
Yeah, great.
Fantastic hair.
Yeah, we try hard on that anyway. Yeah.
learning based. And then they were missing the fun.
Fun.
They were missing the fun in the tribe, which is why I
I'm staring at everyone's hair now. So I'm just distracted.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I have the worst hair of the bunch. That's what
you
don't
have the worst hair. Whatever. You can rock a short bob, and I would look like I have a mullet. Let's just call it what it is.
Of course, we're all staring at each other on Zoom, and no one else is. So
should we watch this on YouTube, and you can give us your edits.
So should we add easily distracted as one of the core values?
The other one that we had, we do laugh a lot, and I think we're all committed to helping each other live our best lives, whatever that looks like, you know. Yeah, and I think there's no judgment around it.
No.
I mean, I've been in groups where you have to look a certain way, be a certain way, strive for certain things, right?
Yep.
That's not what this group is about.
No.
It's about loving everybody for their whole person, seeing their potential, mm-hmm. and wanting that for them, and really giving them permission to be whoever they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
That can change. You know, yep. I've seen people in our tribe change a lot in the past 5 years.
Oh yeah.
Well, and the other thing I will say was an initial piece of the qualification was to be at a certain level of company income. And the reason why we did that originally was because we felt like if you had a certain level of where your business was at, you probably had gotten through like some of the initial like how do I's and were on to more complex problems and challenges. And if we were all trying to tackle those, going 20 steps backwards to explain, mm-hmm. you know, step one, how do I, may not have been where we wanted to spend our time. So we did actually have an original level of company income that you had to have as well to start out in the tribe.
Good point, Seychelle.
We did. And we also, you know, when I look back at the makeup back then when we started it, I think there was some aspirationals in there too. The important common bond, I think, was that we, some of us were on our way. If we hadn't necessarily hit that mark yet, you know, there was a desire and a certainty almost that, uh-huh. that it was going to happen. And that was the beauty of it, that, and it still is, that we were all and still continue to be in different phases of, if you're talking mm-hmm. business,
yes.
you know, of our business, frankly, in parenting. And we have one of our dolls, I mean, you know, has kids, old adult children who could have mm-hmm. their own children. And you know, Sarah, you have a newborn. You and Kimber have a newborn.
Is he still a newborn?
Not a newborn anymore.
He'll always be our newborn.
He's almost a toddler now.
Yeah. He is.
I mean, a lot of us have teenagers, but I mean, we have all different stages of mm-hmm. parenting, and you know, it's great. It's just great. But there's the common thread is that's what's important to us, and that we're celebrating and honoring similar values.
Yep. And I think the other thing we didn't have was none of us had such big egos walking in. Like we all walked in pretty humble, like willing to kind of lay it out on the table of like, here's where I am with vulnerability and transparency.
Yeah,
and that's only improved over time. And that's probably been one of our best like secret traits that we all have is we're willing to really be transparent behind closed doors of where we are.
Well, and to be honest, a tribe won't work. If people aren't transparent, if people aren't humble, if people aren't willing to speak truth, mm-hmm. The tribe doesn't work. It's not a mm-hmm. tribe, mm-hmm. right?
Nope.
And so that's key. So key.
Yeah. I have a story. You know, when you talk about common values, I remember it really distinctly. Our tribe, you know, really values building your net worth, which is really important to me because I am trying to build my
net worth. Building your net worth.
You are building
your net
worth.
I shouldn't say trying.
Yeah.
I am.
There is no tribe. Yeah.
There's no tribe.
You just are.
And I remember I was with another group of friends and I was feeling weak in a weak moment. And I was talking about online shopping and making a big splurge purchase, right? Not a chair. Ladies, not a chair.
And that's a big purchase to me.
That was a big purchase. This is prior to them. This is prior to that. And I remember this other group of friends was like,
this was your pre-chair
you
period.
It. Yeah. This is my pre-chair week moment. And I bought a Herman Miller. I splurged everybody, if you're wondering what that is. But anyway, I had a weak moment and I was like, you know, I want this handbag and it was really expensive. And this other group of friends was like, do it. You deserve it. You totally. Oh my gosh. Like, what are you doing this for? Whatever. And I said something to you guys. I can't remember if we were to retreat, but what I remember is you guys were like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. That is not what you know. This is the mm-hmm. habit you have to break via. Like, don't do that. And what you need to do is build your net worth. That's what you told us to hold you accountable to. Look what we have. Look at our net worth. It was a very powerful moment for me. And that was when I realized I was like, I need to immerse myself in the dolls for a while because I am feeling weak. I'm in a point where my income's up and I could be weak and I need these women in my life to help me direct that.
Well, first of all, I'll say it again. I'm really proud of your journey. I've seen you go through all those stages. I'm super proud of you.
Thank you.
And as an aside, I read this great little book that I've been meaning to tell all three of you, but I'll just tell all our listeners since we're right here. And it's a book called Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. And it has all this data around how experiences tend to make you happier in the long run than buying stuff. And it has all the data to prove it. It's actually a great little, it's tiny. You're at 64% on your Kindle and you're already done because there's so many notes. Just take you a couple hours. So highly recommend. Yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome. Well, and so we've kind of already alluded to this in some of the stories that we've been sharing. But number three, when you're looking to create your tribe, is a common language or rules around that. And so for us, right, we look for, with our core values, right, we look for connectivity, but we also look for doses of reality. And so what's important with us in our language is that we're speaking truth and we're speaking authenticity when we talk to each other. And that, as Wendy said beautifully, we look to communicate for the whole person. And so we've had people, when they first joined the tribe, come in maybe really strong on the personal side or really strong on the business side. And we have to be really clear when we're starting out our tribe retreats that we're actually looking at you from a holistic perspective. And oftentimes when you're really strong in one area, that means the other area actually needs to be lifted up. And so part of what we do with our tribe is oftentimes during our retreats, we have what we call the hot seats. And we go around the room. Usually we end up landing on one or two of the people that need it the most during that time. But it's an opportunity for us as a tribe to pour into them, to truly evaluate where they are and how we can help lift them up and move the ball forward with authenticity and honesty and love and candor and care to help move that person forward. I think the other thing that you need to be aware of is when you show up for your retreat or for your tribe, you need to be there and you need to be present. And the other piece for us that's really important is confidentiality. And that is probably like the most important thing. What happens at the retreat stays at the retreat, right? And so when we talk about not having somebody on your payroll, this is a really important part of that because this is, you might be talking about big decisions for your organization or your family or your life that you need to have complete trust that this group has your vested interest, that they are here to do nothing else but help you and that it's going to stay in the room.
That makes me think of when COVID hit.
Yeah.
And all of us have organizations that we're leading and we had a lot to talk about. And I remember Via saying to me, okay, we need to rely on each, right now, we need to rely on each other to say what we need to say. If we're having a hard day, if we're crying and just like trying to figure out what's going on, if we don't know what to do, we're going to uplift one another. We're going to put on our battle armor and we're going to go out there and show leadership with our people. And I think the confidentiality piece is so key because some things you can't say to your people, right? You can't say like, well, of course, at times I said I didn't know what I was doing, but meaning like, well, this is my first pandemic. I kept saying to my team, but I was different with
this
my tribe.
This is my first ever global pandemic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And we're going to win it.
It makes it sound better when you say it like Via says it.
And we're going to win it. Exactly. But then maybe to the tribe, you're saying, I'm scared. I'm so scared. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, right? And and the confidentiality piece is so key because you have to be have a safe place to say those things to then be turn around and be the leader that you need to be in your organization.
That's right.
Yeah. And what I actually said was break down here so that we can put on our battle armor out there.
Love that.
And I just want to just share this confidentiality piece is personally very, very important to me. It is, I think the larger your empire gets and the higher profile you get, confidentiality and trust is so much more important than it's really ever been in my life. And to have somebody outside of my organization that is a safe place, that are safe people, I cannot stress how important that is to foundationally line that up. Because you listeners, you are on your way to having huge empires if you haven't hit it yet. Yeah. I believe in you. I know you are. And you need these relationships now. Trust me, you need these relationships now of vaults, people that you can trust that are outside of your organization, because that becomes so challenging to get someone not in your own little bubble that you can trust. And you need some perspective and you need that. That's a really big deal for me.
Well, and you know, I always begin with the end in mind. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, my vision is the 11 of us, you know, in our 80s and 90s, on a beach somewhere.
Oh, I love that.
Sipping mojitos or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, breathing oxygen, whatever it looks like.
Manhattans.
Yeah. and we're all billionaires, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Yeah. We talked mm-hmm. about having that big vision mm-hmm. for us. So
that's right. And our own yeah. private island. That's what we're
and doing. If you do that from looking at the end in mind, multiple things you have to think about your health. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to get there. Right. Mm-hmm. You've got to yeah. think about wealth building. And that's, I mean, a core value. I know that's going back to number two, but a core value is building a big business, but also a bigger life, that's which right. is what the podcast is about. And so mm-hmm. part of that is looking at all facets of your life, which is what your tribe does. And that mm-hmm. takes confidentiality going into that to talk about those things openly.
That's exactly right. And the last rule on that, and we'll move to number four, is to have fun. So we can't do this without having a great time in the process.
That's
it's just
our
not,
rule.
It's
that
not
may
worth
not be
it.
Someone else's.
So for yeah. us, that's part of our yeah. rules is we want to enjoy having fun with each other.
Yes. I remember my first retreat. I didn't know what to expect. I was like 6 or 7 months pregnant.
It was so cute.
And, yeah. And I remember coming into the ranch and there was gangster rap playing and the dolls were dancing.
Serena.
and the dolls were dancing. And I was like, I had never been in a room like that before in terms of like these high power leaders, like that's me and George at home. Like, but I was yeah. like, oh, what?
Also, probably in our pajamas dancing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in your pajamas in our yeah. hand.
Yeah. Exactly. It only gets weirder from there on out.
Exactly. I have all those videos of us. No more visuals. Yeah.
No, that's for the confidentiality.
The
point.
Yeah,
ostrich
eggs. Those are for so on the internet.
I'm having fun. Having fun
yes.
is key.
I'm yeah, going to let number yeah. four be led actually by the person that has been a gracious, fearless leader for us yeah. and helping to run this. So Wendy's going to walk you through the leadership side of this piece.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Seychelle. It's an honor and a privilege to lead you guys. And you really need someone who's going to take the reins and take responsibility. Every organization, even a group of high-powered leaders, needs a leader of leaders. Yeah. And so someone's going to have to take the reins and drive everything forward. Obviously, over time, other people are going to jump in and take over and help out. And that's great. But you really need that one person. So
did you realize that was going to be needed when we first started out? Or was that something that you kind of had to jump into?
Well, I'm my whole life, I've always been a natural organizer mm-hmm. of people. So like, I think about in college, I was always the hub, you know, and on the spokes and organizing everyone and figuring out what to do. And I've been learning more about my strength finders.
Yay.
And that's my arranger personality, which is like kind of pulling everyone together yeah. in yeah. that way. Yeah. And so I love to do it. Mm-hmm. It makes me really happy. I love to have dinner parties. I love to have people over. I love to have a party. I love to bring people together, and especially when I can bring people together and have a powerful result is, yeah. And then that's my mission. You know, some of you guys know my mission is to empower and inspire big thinking leaders to create lives of abundance. And so that's pretty much what this group does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fills totally that bucket for sure.
Mission. Yeah. So the leader's going to have to figure out how we communicate, right? So we have a Slack that we use on an almost daily basis. We hop on a Zoom once a month, and we did this even pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. We usually do an annual retreat or two times a semi-annual retreat at some fun location. And so, yeah, you got to ask yourself, are you willing to commit to leading the group? Because honestly, you know, it's work. You know,
it is.
It's yeah. a lot of work. And some people are going to opt out over time, and that's mm-hmm. fine. So, and then make sure you stay tuned for our next episode where we're going to do a deeper dive into the tactical part of creating your tribe and what that looks like on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. And we'll also go over one of the agendas for our mastermind retreats.
Hey, Wendy, can I just jump in on that when you said, thank mm-hmm. you, by the way, when you said some people will opt out, because something that reminded me of something, and especially in this leadership area. Mm-hmm. And that is that I think that it's good to have someone that pulls up on an aerial view and kind of says, hey, is everybody at the same level of engagement. Mm-hmm. Because when I look back at a couple of those people, they weren't as engaged as the rest of us. And that starts, it's almost like a fissure happens at that point. Yeah. Right?
It's an erosion.
When everybody's not all in. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's okay. Like we still adore and love those people. They may just not have been wanting to be along for that part of the journey. Right, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just not right. You know, it's got to be right people, right time, right opportunity. And sometimes those don't all align.
And I don't think you're always aware of it, you know, especially the bigger it gets. And having one person, you know, I think it's John Maxwell that says leaders are in the crowd and then they step up above the crowd. Mm. And so it's really, that's a great description of a leader of a tribe. They're in it. They're in the tribe and then they pull up. They pull up every once in a while. The rest of us are just in it, living our lives. And there's one person that might pull up and go, hey, you know, they're just not engaged. They're not showing up. And then they bring it up and we're like, oh yeah, that's true. But I may not have noticed that, you know.
So. Well, it's got to be mutual too, right?
Yeah.
Meaning like for they've got to be all showing that they're all in or a tribe won't work. If people aren't being all into it and then also the leader sees that, right? Yeah. And then vice versa, if the tribe's feeling like, you know, that they're not giving the time that they need to make it work and make it a beautiful thing, then you got to part ways at that point.
And if you don't catch those, eventually it erodes over time because then the engagement peels off one by one by one.
So true.
Yeah. I would say the nice thing about having a bigger tribe is, you know, life happens and we've seen that where there's an ebb and flow to everything. But I've for sure had some conversations with people and just said, hey, tell me your level of commitment here. And that's not a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm. I also think we're going to touch on this in the next episode, but before we move to number five, Wendy, you've always taken the leadership and the agenda on our retreats. And I just kind of wanted to say that since we're in the leader portion of it, we all contribute. It comes from all of us. In fact, some of us might almost have a stronger role in content, but you're the one leading it. I like the way you said that, arranging and organizing it, right? Yep. There's that one point person, it just wouldn't happen. I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to five. And
otherwise,
it
would be like some of these podcasts where we're just chit-chatting all over the place. Yeah.
That's fun too, though. For us, that works.
It does work for
everybody else.
It is.
So number five is start finding your tribe. And all of the 4 points kind of lead into this, right? We talked about common values and, you know, we talked about really frameworking and making sure you understand where you want to go. And now we talk about finding your tribes. And so what we have found works really well for us is, you know, who has traits that exemplify what you're looking for? Where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to have fun with? Who do you want to hang out with, right? So start finding your tribe. Look for traits that you like, that you enjoy, and also exemplify, you know, your ideal vision of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the next step is you start having conversations with others to join. It does happen organically, but I would also argue we're purposeful. We invite people to dinner. Sometimes it's not all 11. That can be intimidating. Sometimes there's been 3 or 4 or 5 of us and we'll have a lunch or a dinner. And then we might go, huh, you know, that was great. That really clicked. And then another group of us, you know, might have a get together and then someone might be invited to something. And it's a process, not an event. It's not I like you, you're going to come join our tribe, right?
Yeah.
So it's purposeful and it's organic.
You know, and
another way to explain
and this
it.
This is a really hard thing to do. I mean, this took us 2 or 3 years to do. And so one of the benefits that we did when we created Amplify, right, with the event that we do with Amplify, is that we help kind of facilitate some of the matchmaking of that initial tribe. And then people add to it organically as they go or self-select out and want something different. But we found a lot of success and helping to kind of foster those relationships and bringing people together in similar stages or similar traits or similar goals to kind of help foster that initial part of that tribe. So if you want some help and kind of jumping ahead on that, you know, join us at Amplify and we'll be happy to help you facilitate some of that.
You can go to amplifyevent.com for more information.
There you go.
That's great. So before we end, I think we want to make sure to address sort of some pitfalls, some things that we have seen that you want to be careful of, right? And because that could easily happen while building a tribe, while looking at this. The first is to make sure that your tribe doesn't just become yes men.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is a fine line because the other thing a tribe does is they believe in you. and mm-hmm. they speak life into you. And so, and but that's different than being a yes man, right? Very a yes different. Man won't say something if they see something, right? You want right. the tribe to, if they are seeing something in your life, if they're seeing something happen, they're going to say it, right? You want to do not surround yourself by people that just say yes, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'll give an example of that. So I don't think Diane will mind us sharing this, but one of the most powerful moments on one of our retreats was Diane was feeling very
pulled.
She had a massive life change.
Oh yeah.
Well, she was really feeling like all the stuff that she was doing was just overwhelming and way too much. And that's who she is. She's a
doer.
She can just do. She is like the hardest worker that I've ever met. You know, she grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And
she's amazing.
And here she was doing all these things. And, you know, we gave her permission to say no to some things. Mm-hmm. And it was probably I don't know about you guys, but it was a very moving experience for me.
It was one of the most powerful experiences I've been a part of in my adult life. And that's really what inspired our episode, Say No to Say Yes, was that exact experience that Diane had with us as a group and giving ourselves permission to say no to some things so we can say yes to a bigger life.
And you know what's even more powerful about that moment, and I think it's a universal example, which is why I'm continuing the story, is that she wasn't going to come to that retreat.
Yes,
and
that's right.
She called me and she goes, I have Delta Airlines on my computer in front of me, and I could press one button and I could fly to Seattle and you could drive me.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You picked me up at the airport.
London. And I said, you absolutely are flying to Seattle. You are canceling London. You need to be here. You need your people. I mean, I hammered her.
Yeah, you did. It was one of the best surprises because we really didn't think she was coming. That's right.
Yeah. And the only reason I say that is because I was fierce. I'm like, you absolutely are pressing that right button and you are getting your butt to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I am picking you up. I am driving you there. I don't want to hear any more about it, you know? Yeah. And so when she got in front of us and we had this moment where, you know, it was, you could hear a pin drop and Wendy said, you have our permission to make these decisions in your life. I don't think there was a dry eye in there.
No.
Yeah, it gives me the shivers.
I have goosebumps right now.
I'm shivering.
Anyway,
and you know what though? That is the power of a tribe that is all in and engaged, is invested, because we could have just said, "Well, you're busy and you don't need to come," but instead, Via said, "No, this is important for you, and we need you here." And I totally remember that.
I made her change her trip to London.
You did.
She was late,
and that changed her life.
It did.
Yeah. So guys, building a tribe can literally change your life.
Yes. Right?
I know. Yeah. I know it's personally changed mine. And so it's really something that you should strive for. And we learned a lot today. We learned about the why, what, and where. You know, what are you missing in your current surroundings and where do you need to go? So it always starts with thinking about what you want and where do you want to go? And then really thinking about the core values and qualities that you want in the people in your tribe. And then developing some common rules and language and whatever. That's not going to be the same for everyone. So whatever that looks like for you and your tribe is fine. You got to have a leader, right? So if you're the one that's kind of thinking about this, you're probably going to be the leader. If you're the one who's saying like, gosh, I need this. Guess what? You're probably going to be the leader.
Congratulations.
You're going to have to do it. Yeah. Because, you know, like I said, I had an experience of joining an organization. Didn't work for me. Right? So you're going to have to do it yourself and then really start looking around you. Who are the people that you know? And I can't remember if we mentioned this, but you know, sometimes it might be people who you have to get on a plane to see.
You know,
it's not always going to be
all
people in your community. So you might have to look out. And if you're struggling to find your tribe, then definitely go to amplifyevent.com and we can help you with that.
Yeah,
and then the most important thing is to avoid the pitfalls of a bad tribe, right? And I'm sure there'll be some point for us in the future where we look up and think, oh gosh, you know, we need to make some changes here too.
Absolutely.
So it's constantly paying attention and being vigilant. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, well, I don't know about you guys, but this was great. I got the chills than once.
And it's always a good sign.
I'm so glad that all of you guys out there could join us again. Remember, you guys are empire builders.
Thanks for joining.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform and help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.